Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country, BBM Bumabip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have your saying, Yalup Strong, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, knockout violence. First women's only trauma-focused boxing program launches in Darwin. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Alan Thomas, CDU, social work lecturer, and also Kylie Byrne, knockout violence volunteer. We have the ladies on the line. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. I'll start with you, Kylie. Who your mob? Where you from? Let the people know, please.
We're calling here from Larrakia country here in Garamilla in Darwin. I'm from here in Darwin, but connected to the Lingaman mob up here in near Kakadu.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Big shout out to your mob. Alan, who your mob? Where you from?
Oh, look, I'm from Darwin in the Northern Territory on this beautiful Larrakia country here. A Balanda woman?
Yes.
So, yeah.
We claim you, sister.
Thank you.
Look, a beautiful vehicle we're talking here. First Women's Only Trauma-Focused Boxing Program launches in Darwin. Now, Kylie, you're a boxer yourself and you're volunteering in space. How long has this space been operating for? And tell us the sort of work that you deliver in regarding using boxing as a tool to empower our women.
Yeah, so the program's been operating since December of last year,
mm-hmm.
and I started out as a participant and only just recently starting to volunteer to help some of the other ladies.
Good.
So it's been really good to be able to be involved from that point and being able to kind of see the ladies build up their confidence.
Nice.
And try something different, but also connect with each other and connect with different women from different backgrounds has been really cool.
And we're talking all ages? Is that right, ladies?
Yeah.
You go, Kylie.
Yeah, so, what Ella was saying, we're working with women from all ages, from, I think the youngest was 12, eh?
Yeah, that's right, youngest is 12.
Yeah. So I see this as a confident thing, empowerment in the physical sense, but in the mental sense. But are we talking an opportunity for our women to fight back?
When we talk about fighting back and knocking out violence, we're talking about supporting women to feel connected to themselves,
okay,
to feel connected to community through other women,
yes,
and to build their confidence and self-esteem and to use the relationships they develop in the session as a way of healing, but also the boxing aspect to heal the body and the mind.
Yes.
Mm.
Fantastic.
So we're not fighting back against violence.
In the physical sense, thank you. Yep,
yeah.
I hear you. Thank you, yes. But like I said, it's just confidence. It's a network, a group of women working together, got each other's backs, so to speak. And that's a good thing. Plus fitness.
Mm.
And then you could say that women joining this fantastic platform, it could stem them into becoming a boxer, if not get into some sort of physical contact sport, whether it be rugby league or AFL or whatever the case may be. Just open up so many doors, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, Kylie's experience is, a good kind of story to tell because she came into the program doing some boxing. Now she's going to a fight gym where she's learning to fight. And hopefully one day she might step into the ring, Kylie.
Yep.
Yeah. So I started off just doing it for fitness and a bit of fun and then, found more and more getting into it. And it's been good to see, like, working with women from other sports as well, working with the some of the women's teams from AFL and from soccer, and seeing them, you know, engage in the program in a different way as well has been really good. Yeah.
Fantastic. Regarding the Knockout Violence, this fantastic program, how's it funded? How's that work, Alan?
Yeah, so it's self-funded at the moment.
Okay.
I, you know, obviously work at the university, so I use my money to sort of set up the business or the program, sorry. And we do ask women to pay $10 for the session.
Okay.
But we also recognise that, you know, we don't want the program to be a barrier for anyone.
Sure.
So we also offer free sessions as well.
If you've got $10, great. If you haven't, that's great too.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Well, Ellen's also... Ellen's also being a bit humble in that, because she's, you know, put a lot of her own time and funds into it, and offering free sessions pretty regularly as well. Yeah.
And I would say, Alan, not so much the time and money that's invested. It is an investment, just being there and creating a platform and help our sisters to be strong.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, we all... deserve to have access to, you know, health and well-being supports, whether that be through boxing or rugby or whatever.
Exactly.
And we really want to make it as accessible as possible for people to access.
Fantastic. And what are the times during the week or weekends that you guys operate, and where do you operate from?
Yeah, so at the moment it's monthly sessions in Darwin City at a gym called CrossFit Darwin.
Okay.
But we also have free sessions. So you'd have to have a look on our Instagram page. We have a free session coming up on the 14th of July at Casuarina Beach.
Okay, beautiful. So, and how do people contact you? You'd mention Facebook, did you say?
Instagram at Resilience Boxing.
Knockout Violence, is that what it's called? How do people find you?
The it's called Resilience Boxing.
Resilient Boxing, yep.
On Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, look, big shout out to you, Deadly Sisters. Thank you very much for sharing. It's a great vehicle, supporting our beautiful women out there in confidence in all aspects of life. So, look, so deadly. Thank you for your yarn. Look, stay strong, keep smiling, and we'll yarn soon, girls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. That's Alan Thomas from CDU, Charles Darwin University, social work lecturer. And also we have a volunteer Knockout Violence boxer. That's Kylie Byrne. And talking about their beautiful space, Knockout Violence, first women's only trauma-focused boxing program that's launched in Darwin. It looks fantastic to see. And do check out their Instagram. Knockout Violence, fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at the First Session Radio Station here in Cairns. That's Bummer Bipper Media, BBM 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong, National Talk Black.
No one got no rights, yeah, I won't. No one got no rights, ooh. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Make la mata work. With the making tracks in the dirt. Diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we saw it work. With the making tracks in the dirt. Diving for pearls while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the wicked holes in the earth, tracking the herd. For what you thought we could be, what we stop it. You must have me, San Balarayan. I take our rib, I got my sea island. Born and bred where Kyoto, the island. Busy not to fly, must fly, go by again. Another after envy, full blood, new in mind. Another after envy, cell come from Jamaica. With the coming of the light, now July 1. Sends a light blown Torres Strait Island. How much are you bad when out there become? Out there, mata make a dance, out there, make it a marker. And man, no understand when we shake a hand, me plan make it one plan. We not playing for fun, fun. Them come once it's time, we snag a band. Woman, naga man, bullet, no gun, no gun. I mean, no gun, hand to command, man. From make it wrong decision, them come. But we no sabe, see that mata work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls, while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth, to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we stop at work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls, while we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth, to track in the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we stop at work. Bye bye, you go walk, but not sabe where you from. Mata love and pay respects to those before us. Pass them go from diver to a dove now. Look your bub, sign up the gubba gub. Mata listen club, them kind was a mara. Bala make it damn kind, you gon' mata stop. Bombay, them kind was a kuyo password wap now. Them kind was a spia password wumara. How mata ya new bad when out there we come. Out there mata make it work, make him sign up to sun down. Make it plenty pound, diver mata down. When he selling them, but keep it the millions, hundreds and thousands. Them kind was a waiting naga vow. Bochi naga bow, farmer naga no cow. Lawyer speaking all out, Bogani go pop. From sissy block up from inside south. Then now, but we no sabe, see them at the work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth to track in the hurt. But what you thought we could be with, we sabe work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth, tracking the herd. For what you thought we could be worth, we stop it. Mikla mata work. Mikla mata work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it, bite them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth, tracking the herd. For what you thought we could be worth, we stop it work. With the making tracks in the dirt, diving for pearls. While we does it, by them in the surface of it work. With the making holes in the earth, tracking the hurt. For what you thought we could be worth, we stop it.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Turb, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong. There's some measure of justice. No more legal service welcomes WA Stolen Generation Redress Scheme announcement. And well, Legal Service welcomes the Western Australia Government's announcement that it will establish a redress scheme for stolen generation survivors into the state. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Gary Oliver, Executive Director, Strategy and First Nation Engagement at No More Legal Service. Gary's on the line. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Trevor, and Yalanda to you. Yalanda to everyone. It's good to be on your show. Yeah.
And thank you for coming to the show, my brother. And before we start, Gary, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay, so I'm Cookie Yalanji, so from yes. Cape, but I'm a Cairns boy too, so that's good. So.
Well, good to be talking to you, brother.
Everyone at home.
Yeah, there you like talking to everybody at home too, Dudley. So you are with the Strategy and First Nation Engagement at No More Legal Service, and some measure of justice is the title here, and No More Legal Service. welcomes the WA Stolen Generation Redress Scheme announcement. So tell us about this redress scheme excited about the movement going forward.
Excited about the announcement because, you know, there were only two states in this country that never had redress schemes for stolen generations, and that was WA and Queensland. So WA have announced theirs on Tuesday, the day after Sorry Day, but they announced some eligibility on it, but we still want some more work to be done on the eligibility, what it means, when the removal dates are, and the amount as well. So the Healing Foundation and us at No More, we've done a paper up to inform the government of best practices. We know there's been redress schemes in other states. The Victorian scheme for stolen generation was a payment of $100,000. New South Wales around $85,000. The national one for the territory schemes around about $85,000 as well. But we need to protect that money when it goes out there. This is a good step. I'm talking some negative talk there, but it's a good step that there's this announcement there for those stolen generation survivors in Western Australia.
Well, any win we can have as First Nation people, here we are in the 21st century, we look for any win, and it's another step forward, acknowledgement, recognition, survival, you could say, in more ways than one, and here's another win for black people.
It is, and I know the mob over there in WA was talking to them on the day as well, are very excited about this opportunity, very excited that the Cook government in Western Australia has come up with this scheme for them as well. They know that there needs to be more work done, and so does the WA government. They've said that they will work with community organisations to best deliver this scheme to people. So that's really good. That's really good that it will be done by... WA is huge, you know.
Exactly.
Land mass. But them organisations that is from Perth all the way up to Broome and Port Hedland and Kimberley, all in between. Yeah.
Well, we as Blackfoot, we understand the ongoing harm caused to stolen generation survivors and the intergenerational trauma experienced by their ancestors. So the redress is an important part of healing, you could say, in more ways than one, Gary.
It is. It is for those survivors. Mm. It's still not clear what will be done because of the intergenerational trauma or for the effects of other generations. My grandparents were stolen generation. Mm. And I see the impact that has been happening to us as a family over the years, you know. We've got beautiful graves there in Cairns for them now with headstones and things like that. Not funded through any process of government, but self-funded, you know, through the family. So how do we heal families beyond this? And what's going to be the measure to do this? You know, we look at the announcement, and the announcement's got good things in it, and the announcement will help us with our advocacy to get the Queensland government to do the right thing.
Yes. Well, exactly. And when you look at it, government, if not non-Indigenous Australians, would not comprehend in regarding generational trauma, for example, and what we carry, emotionally, physically, mentally, all the above, and how it sinks our spirits in so many ways, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it needs to be some follow-up, and some follow-up in the public as well about what the intergenerational trauma is, but how we can work together to overcome some of these things, but acknowledging it. But for stolen generation survivors, they're of an age now that they have had health impacts that are measurable. So, you know, some of them are needing aged care packages, aged care accommodation, and to look after their health. I was talking to a stolen generation survivor in New South Wales, and they said because of the poor nutrition when they were in the home, that has impacted now on their kidneys and some other vital organs.
Sure, the physical sense, yes.
How do we do a whole holistic package to look after people?
Exactly. So tell us the sort of tools or vehicle you'll be using regarding the redress scheme. We're talking compensations. Are we talking mental illness? Are we talking support in that space? Are we talking about... Well, you were talking about housing, employment, necessities of life, all the above, would you not, Gary?
You would. If you put a real meaningful package together, you'd include everything.
Yes.
What we know at the moment is that the redress scheme truly delivers justice and healing, because they're going to offer some healing process with it. They're also going to be offering a personal apology, and that goes big as well. Mm. You know, a senior person in government apologising to someone for what has happened in the past.
Yes.
And that's a feature within the Commonwealth scheme that operates in the Territory, Jervis Bay and Canberra. There's personal apologies that are applicable there.
Exactly. And because it's never ever happened to you, you wouldn't understand it.
No, that's right. You know, some of the Stolen Generation survivors have talked about they didn't have role models in parenting.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that's their biggest guilt.
Mm.
They didn't have a role model for parenting, so how do I make sure that we can rectify that with the next generation and my kids and things like that, you know? So those are the type of real issues that our mob face. But imagine if we had a good campaign at a national level saying why we need to do it, the impact of it, and how we can all work together to ensure it, yeah.
Well, if you're broken spiritually, then it does affect you physically, mentally, and living in today's society. It does.
Well, remember that people that lived in dormitories in Queensland?
Yes.
That they lived on missions in WA, they weren't allowed to speak language. So they weren't allowed to speak language. They weren't allowed to do ceremony or anything like that. And some of the ages of people being taken at 5, some were taken at 12, but 5 and 4. And there was I listened to Ian Hamm from the Healing Foundation. He was taken at 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
and you take people and put them into a different environment. They have no recognition of the culture when they become adults.
Yes. And it's so very hard to explain why you're in sort of no man's land in regard to your existence of life, education or getting a job.
Yeah, yep.
Spiritually, you're locked up.
You're trapped. Mm. You're trapped. And then when you try to retrace your connections, some people actually bag the survivors, and we've got to stop doing that.
Mm.
There are some that we still have living survivors that haven't had the connection to their community, to their mobs, been broken.
Yeah.
How do we bring them home? You know, that's
exactly
important.
So the redress scheme for Stolen Generation survivors in the state, we welcome it. It's a powerful tool, and we can build a strong foundation from then on.
Yes, yes. Western Australia has done a good thing with this announcement. The day after Sorry Day,
yes.
Let's get Queensland to the table, and we should have a look at other states that have had schemes. And
exactly.
Were the schemes well known by communities? That's what we've got to go. This scheme's going to be open for 5 to 6 years. If you were removed before 1972, but the federal scheme for the territories, if you're removed before 1984.
Yes. Exactly.
So there's a difference there. And the Healing Foundation have put out a report, and the title of that report, Are You Waiting for Us to Die? That's really relevant.
Yeah,
in these
true. So true. So true. Mm. Well, a lot of their ancestors have passed on and missed out on the so-called support for this space.
That's right. So this scheme isn't for descendants. This scheme is for survivors.
Mm.
If a survivor passes away during the process of their application being done, that can be made available to that survivor's estate.
Yes.
So distributed, distributed from there. So there's those type of legal aspects that are quite clear, but some of the guiding eligibility and guidelines of it, a number of people are saying, hang on, let's do this and do this well.
Well, hats off to WA's government, up to Queensland government, stand up. Gary, thank you for your yarn, my brother. All the best to you. Stay safe, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you very much, Trev. Thanks.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Beautiful yarn there, Gary Oliver, his name is, Cookie Yalanji Man, and Executive Officer, Strategy, First Nation Engagement at No More Legal Service. And WA, Western Australia, some measures of justice, No More Legal Service, have welcomed the announcement by the WA government, Stolen Generation Redress Scheme announcement. Fantastic. Moving forward, a powerful tool for our people and building strong foundations. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yana Strong? Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball, you on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you say Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
The sun beats down, the clouds gather, the rainforest is tall. The river tyrant rushes to my Coco Yalanchi girl. I look into her deep brown eyes, there's something I can't hide. The mountains that I climb, I find my sacred, sacred side. Come shine your light, brighten up the world.
Coco Yalanchi, Coco Yalanchi, Coco Yalanchi girl.
Come shine your light, brighten up the world.
Coco Yalanchi, Coco Yalanchi, Coco Yalanchi, Coco Yalanchi girl.
For my cervical screening test, I chose to ask my doctor about options for screening.
I chose to continue screening.
I chose to do the swab myself at the clinic.
I didn't know I had choices about how it could be done.
I didn't know I had to keep screening every 5 years.
Screening with a doctor was uncomfortable.
Now my screenings are quick, private and pain-free.
Now that I know, I'll be talking to my doctor at my next health check.
Self-swab is private and puts me in control.
It's your cervical screening test. Own it.
Station sponsor.
Interconnected smoke alarms.
Ollie! Ollie, where are you?
When one goes off, they all go off.
We hear Mum.
So everyone in the family has the best chance of escaping safely.
Oh, thank goodness. Come on, let's go.
It's a small price to pay for what matters most. New smoke alarm laws are coming. Search Plan to Survive today to find out if you're compliant. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Hey, what's good on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bunji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yan is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Gingy Country. BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? Our next segment is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by IGA Perry's at Brinsmead, Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyle. So thank you very much, Perry's. We have a yarn with the Boys and Girls in Blue, Edmonton Police. And we've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and his bodyguard, we've got Stephen Grant, PLO, Peace Liaison Officer. And a very good morning, gents. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Trevor, long time.
Long time, fantastic. Start with you, Steve. Who are you mob? Where are you from, brother?
Yeah, I'm proud of Jitterbell, Gittermain boy from the footprints of the Mission Beach, Tully, Cardinal Rainforest area.
Beautiful. And PLO for 28 years?
20 years this year.
20 years.
20 years current.
Okay, I'm probably 20 years and 8 days, I probably mean to say. Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. That's a hell of a journey, my brother, and still enjoying the journey.
I've been busy, like I've just explained to Glenn. I've been up to the Cohen Muster 2 weeks ago, which was an engagement with the community and various other government agencies across the state, members coming up from Brisbane and Weeper to engage in the community. Very successful outcome.
Good.
Over the 2 days, but yeah, enjoyable.
Lovely. And everyone behaved.
Yes.
When you say good, that means everyone behaved.
That's correct.
Fantastic. I've seen your Sergeant Glenn Deloy. Good to see you, my friend. How are you going?
Same. Very well, thank you.
Good, good. Hillbilly boy up in the Tablelands.
That's the one.
Who commutes down to Edmonton every day.
Every day, yep.
Now, every corner on the Gillies Range.
All 200.
Get them. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Look, our topic today, sad affair. We're talking sudden death.
Yes.
Sudden death, no matter what form, death is death. How does the Boys and Girls in Blue deal with death? What happens in the situation?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's, I mean, when sadly a family member dies, we, you know, we do expect to see QIS or you know, those sorts of people, maybe a funeral director.
Mm.
But just understanding what the police role is in and why they are present is important for people to know. So. Look, police will attend the address, and our role is that we assist the coroner with determining the cause of death. Okay,
yeah.
So we'll start to conduct an investigation immediately when we turn up to the address.
Mm.
Look, sometimes that's not needed because we have family members that are ill, and you know, we know that their illness is what has caused the death.
Sure.
Look, in those circumstances, we'll go and seek out a cause of death certificate from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have that certificate, and the doctors agreed that this is what's caused the death,
mm-hmm.
That's in those cases. That's the only time police have any sort of involvement. We'll assist with a funeral director, and that is it. There is no investigation.
So you're talking along the lines of going to a house where there is a death.
Mm.
So family members are then well aware of that there is a death.
Yeah.
When if that's not the case, and say an individual's living in the house and they find them dead, and find them in death. Mm-hmm. When do you inform families, or how do you get the? You wait for the identification of the body.
Look, like you say, they'll most likely be able to identify their own family members. Or
sure,
that.
If they're in the house by themselves. Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about if someone's in by themselves.
If they've died themselves?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, and when do we inform the family?
Yeah.
Look, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Absolutely. Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. Look, yeah. And look, I mean, that's not part of our notes here today, but that's another big side of it.
Yeah, I was just saying. Yeah,
delivering those messages. And one of our big barriers or issues with delivering those death messages is the role of social media can sometimes beat us to the families.
Sure.
And look, that can cause some sort of distress as well, because people want us to be informed by police. They don't want it to be rolling around in that social media field. So.
Now, death is death no matter what format, whether it be suicide, but yeah, different when homicide.
That's right. So we've spoken about the natural deaths.
Okay.
Okay. So, but deaths that are reportable to the coroner are where a person's identity is unknown. Deaths that are violent or unnatural.
Mm.
The deaths happened in suspicious circumstances. Or if that cause of death certificate that the doctor issues hasn't been issued and it's not likely to be issued. If the death is related to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Coroner will want to know about those ones, and deaths in care, in custody, or the result of police operations.
Yes.
All of those are reportable to the coroner, and the coroner's purpose in that is, prevent similar deaths in future, or just to report on how that person's passed away. So that's when police have a lot more involvement. We call this form one, where we fill out, has all the details of when they were last seen.
Yeah. Usually it's the police that's first on the scene when there's a death?
Look, it can be AMBOs.
AMBOs could be there before the police. There. Okay, thank you. Yep.
I mean, emergency services work hand in hand.
Okay.
And so they'll advise each other of if an ambulance believe that a person is not going to be revived. Certainly those calls are being made to police.
Did the ambulance take the body away, or is it wait for the coroner? There's two different entities
It'll be a government undertaker that takes the body back.
Which
to
is
the
usually the coroner, who we're talking about. Yeah.
There was a recent thing that I was asked for advice in relation to a death, due to the fact that the body was washed up in water.
Okay.
And they couldn't identify him. So the only way they could identify him was fingerprints.
Okay, right. Yep.
After a number of days being in the water.
So would you take the fingerprints there at the scene straight away?
Yeah, look, since a crime, they may take them at the scene, or they may attend the morgue and take there. But, you know, I mean, we'll go as far as dental records, tattoos,
Okay, all the above, all the descriptions.
Yep. And anything that can actually point to the description or identity of a person. Yep, so... So
I found out, watching a movie the other night, they found out... identifying people by fingerprints, teeth, mouth, but also found ears as well.
There you go. Yep.
I didn't realise that, and found it by taking a photo of the ear. We're all different in regard to our description of our ear. Yeah, thank you. Because you've got big ears, Steve. That's what brought that subject up. That's not true, but look, in a serious matter, a description of a deceased body is what I'm inquiring about.
Yeah, and I think as we move forward, you know, our facial recognition is going to probably play more of a part as well. There's other things that can identify who a person is.
Mm.
And I've experienced jobs where I've been out with a crew from Edmonton in relation to sorry business. It's very hard to intake that family members are at the scene.
And sure.
With police presence, it's still classified as a crime scene.
Sure. And the body's got to be taken away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that itself is devastating.
Look, sometimes it's difficult for the family to understand, sometimes the body doesn't get moved.
Mm.
Okay, so let's say...
It doesn't get moved.
So let's say it's the death's happened in suspicious circumstances. Then, of course, we'll want to start conducting our investigations, have our forensics
come. So you need the body to stay where it is.
Yep.
As per the investigation to come.
Yep. And of course, like Steve's mentioning, with sorry business, family want to visit the room, visit the person before they take that away. And
that's allowed?
Look, in certain circumstances, this is where our police liaison officers are highly valuable, where they can come and give us advice.
Okay.
And then we can make a decision bearing on that.
Mm. In cases I've been, the undertakers have been, you know, 3 or 4 hours, you know, waiting for family members to come, 4 hours.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's respectful.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Edmonton police are very cooperative about that, even though that they were finishing out 2 o'clock on that event, I can recall.
Well, emotion is running wild, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah.
And where we have some difficulty with the family, I suppose, is where it may be possible that a criminal element, whether it's a murder or an assault that has led to the death, and then we can't let people into that room.
Okay, of course, it's a crime scene.
It's a crime scene, and you know, police do have a lot of powers surrounding crime scenes, and powers regarding to reportable deaths. That can be sometimes difficult for the family to digest because they're emotional at the time, and
sure,
it can be difficult to let us do our job and them grieve, which is quite normal in the circumstances.
Now you've got an acronym here: double PRA, PPRA. Powers for Reportable Deaths.
Yeah, so that's our Police Powers and Responsibilities Act.
Okay, come again. What's that acronym for? PPRA?
So that's our Police Powers and Responsibilities Act. In
Okay, and what happens there in this case?
And look, that's written in legislation that actually gives us the power, to attend, investigate the death, remove the body, seize evidence, take photographs. So that's where our powers come from. But it's about the family understanding that we do actually have the powers
to do so.
I think a lot of families sometimes think the only powers we have is if we've got a warrant, and that's not the case in these circumstances.
Yeah, when there's a death,
that's right.
All goes out the window, and double PRA steps in then.
That's right, And look, we just expect the family just to be upfront if there are any cultural issues that they raise those matters with us.
Yep.
And if a PLO is not on hand, well, then the officers need to take that into
That's good to know. Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy, you've been a non-Indigenous Senior Sergeant. You are.
Mm.
Respectfully, there's engagement, cultural aspect sort of things for First Nation person.
That's right.
It's great to hear that coming from a sergeant, non-Indigenous, in regards to the rules and regulation and the support and respect of the cultural situation.
That's right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So look, the powers are there, but we can bend those powers just to accommodate people's needs as well. Yeah.
Which is good. So under your leadership there, all your officers, especially non-Indigenous, are aware of that?
Yeah, they're aware of that. We've received cultural training.
Yes, exactly.
Multiple times delivered by the good Stephen Grant here to myself. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Teacher, hey, brother? Educator.
Yes.
Educator.
Yes.
That's right.
Only one way to walls.
Yes, forward. That's right. Thank you.
Forward.
And then again, we are all students for life, aren't
Correct.
We?
Just Correct.
Learn the way. Oh, so I've always, in the back of my mind, wanted to know how it all works and the play of sudden death, you know, and look, love, thoughts, prayers going out to family members out there who've lost loved ones. But this is the process in regarding QPS.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
And
the other thing that I also once mentioned is sometimes these doctors, once they do their reports, their findings, that they want the body to be released, like, you know, within certain days, so the family can start making arrangements.
Yes.
And it's very hard.
And have the respectful connection there.
Yeah, because you've got to wait from the coroner to get that release to the family to get the process running.
What's the turnaround on that, Senior Sergeant Glendale?
Oh, look, they can vary between jobs and whether... Look, if a death certificate's issued by a doctor, there's really no need to do an autopsy because the doctor said this is why this person died.
Straight up. And when they got the information for it.
If there's no cause of death certificate, then that's when we may have to conduct an autopsy.
Sure.
So that the coroner can actually...
takes a bit longer then.
And that's going to take a bit longer.
Mm. And that frustrates the family sometimes.
Of course, Hence because, my question.
You know, people have got to travel, it's a cost.
Mm.
All those things come into place.
Mm. Sure. All right. So there it is. Fantastic. So, of course, when there's a death, call 000 straight away. That's important. That's an emergency, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I'd call 000. There's no problems with that at all. Mm. We don't want to be waiting around any longer than we have to.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you for that information. Great news there. Now, Steve, you've moved away from Edmonton Police. Tell us the role that hat you're wearing now and the role you're playing.
I left Edmonton Police on the 8th of October last year. I moved into...
And you guys are still talking. Is friendship still there?
It's strained.
It's strained.
Yeah, put on a brave face.
Yeah. I'm working for the First Nations Division under the recruitment section. So, I've just recently come back from Cowan on an adventure up there for a week.
Okay.
I'm off to the PLO State Conference in Townsville on Monday.
All right.
For a week down there. And my big shout out to the colleagues there, Renee Bond, who's doing a great job in relation to this matter. Yep. And also the Golden Girls on level 5 there at Roma Street, Maria, Karen,
yep.
Teresa. They're all listening in today. And hopefully
big shout out, girls.
Yep, the Golden Girls they are.
Golden Girls.
And Uncle Adrian Coolwell.
Last time I heard of Golden Girls was them meter takers down at Gold Coast.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. Don't go there.
They're all the same, these ones.
Behave yourself.
Yeah, ta.
All right, good yarning with you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All the best.
Travel safe and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue, Edmonton Police, segment which we are yarning, and we yarn about all police matters, and we get educated on how the police operates, and of course the communication with our First Nation people, which is so very important, and hats off to the Queensland Police having police liaison officers at the table in regard to the cultural awareness and the education of how to conduct their services in dealing with our First Nation people. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Yarn Up Strong here on the daily program, National Talk Black. And I'm about to sign off. Thank you for your company, Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Ya te llevo con oro a mi torón, a pehue tan irakiro. Tangi